You're listening to a podcast series from Vietcetera Production. Vietnam is forecasted to be one of the fastest growing economies in Southeast Asia and the world. To understand the dynamics behind Vietnam's miracle growth, Vietcetera meets with business leaders every week to discuss the country's future growth prospects. We also learn about how they build and manage teams and why they think innovation will be key to Vietnam's role in the world order. Good morning, guys. Welcome to the studio for another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, CEO and co-founder of Vietcetera. Much appreciated for tuning in every single week. You've been supporting Vietnam Innovators for the last year and a half, and you know we're in the middle of season three at the moment with some exciting new guests. You've probably already listened to a few of the episodes, but today's our guest, his name is Sai Ponugoti. He's the general director and country manager of P&G Procter & Gamble Vietnam, only one of the biggest companies in the entire world. And they've been here in Vietnam for 27 years. Let's hear it from Sai about what they're doing in Vietnam, how they've, if you think about it, 27 years, by the way, guys, that's, what is that, since 1990s? They've really affected societal change in Vietnam. So we wanna hear from them the story of the evolution of the company here, what they're doing now, but also what they're doing in the future. So without further ado, Sai, welcome to the Vietnam Innovator Studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. And it's wonderful to be with your listeners. And congratulations as well on the immense growth and success that you've achieved personally and professionally.
Thank you. And it's, you know, we can only achieve it with the community that we have, right? And I was just before this podcast, I was telling you we've had 100 guests on Vietnam Innovators, and I feel like it's a mini MBA course every time. I'm 29, so I can't be an expert at anything. I could barely manage myself. But you've been 20 years at P&G. That's almost as old as I am. So Sai, that's my first question. 20 years at P&G, you started as a trainee, I presume, or, you know, obviously at a junior level, and you've since then risen up through to now country manager and GD of Vietnam, P&G. Tell us about that story. What have you learned and what have you done over the last 20 years that continue to motivate you to be with P&G? Yeah.
It's been a fulfilling life and a fulfilling professional career with lots of amazing experiences all through. Mm. I actually went to a boarding school at the age of 5.
Okay,
and,
wow.
And the boarding school was very hectic, a lot of all-around development activities, including spirituality. Mm. Actually, there were two bells for every major activity. The first bell was 5 minutes before the activity starts, like a warning, and the second bell was when the activity would start. None of us knew what it was like not to be at the activity when the second bell rang. All through my boarding school and my school life and college life, there are three D's that I really picked up, which are the foundation for me, for my life and career. The first is discipline, the second is devotion, and the third is dedication. Since then, of course, I started with P&G, my professional career. Yeah. I have lived in 10 cities across 4 countries, India, Singapore, Switzerland, and then Vietnam now. And it's been an amazing journey. I have traveled to 50 countries as well. Mm. It's been a lot of challenges all through, overcoming challenges in different contexts and managing and leading change through all my different roles and assignments. In fact, I feel like I have worked for at least 5 companies, even though all the 20 years I've been with Procter & Gamble. Mm.
It's a diverse suite of experiences. So many brands, industries within the industry, fast-moving consumer goods. I mean, that's a lot of stuff, not just one brand, of course. That's great. So within, you know, of those 20 years, I'm sure the most challenging, but the also the biggest opportunity is the one here in Vietnam, let's be honest here. And it's been 3 years for you. What are some learnings that you've had in this role, you know, being in that position of leading such a large team with big responsibility? I'm sure it's one of the biggest P&Ls in the world too, perhaps. What have you learned in that role?
Yeah. I keep getting from many people is Vietnam after Switzerland. Oh my God, what a big change, right? But it's been an amazing journey here in Vietnam. Enriched learnings and experiences. First, on the country and the consumer here. There has been a lot of positive change in this country. It's a dynamic, vibrant, and a fast developing country. The consumers, they want the best. They, of course, are value seekers. But they are also trying to, they are willing to try new products. Let me take an example. We have, we play in the fabric softeners category with Downy, which is a leading brand. And the penetration, the households that use this category is over 70%, which is higher than many countries in the world. So it just shows the consumers want the best and they are willing to try new products. If I look at the P&G success over the years, I have seen really the integrated strategy that we have to be working really well for us. It's all about delivering superiority across the five vectors: product, packaging, brand communication, retail execution, and finally delivering value. And we have had the mantra of go local. We try to ensure that we leverage consumer insights, we qualify our products locally, we have local A celebrities, we test and qualify our packaging locally, and I think this has driven our success and has given us a lot of learnings. If I take an example of our fabric care business, we have Ariel and Downy as our brands. We launched the indoor dry technology, saw the trend of consumers, the fast urbanization, consumers living in apartments, women working, not having sufficient time to wash their clothes, and hence the lack of sun that can dry their clothes. So the indoor dry technology gives them that and also gives them great smell. So this has given us tremendous success. The third big learning has been on being close to the government and the industry bodies. I've had the chance to work very closely, both contribute as well as learn from these experiences. I serve on the Board of Governors for American Chamber of Commerce in Vietnam, and I'm happy to see the contributions as well as the learnings that I've been able to get. Finally, the Vietnamese talents. It's been an amazing journey. I have always been a big supporter of growing talents, coaching talents, and it's amazing to see the strengths, and also my journey and learnings on growing Vietnamese talents has been just amazing. Think about the 4 months recently where all of us, all the factories were in Eat, Sleep and Operate. It was just inspiring to see how our people came together and were able to deliver, bring products to the consumers during the pandemic, despite having to face immense challenges. So truly inspired, great and enriched learnings. I'm really grateful for this fantastic experience.
Yeah, it's 20 years P&G, 3 years in this role here in Vietnam, leading the team, going through difficult and also big opportunity times, I'm sure. Let's talk about P&G, 27 years in Vietnam. Your guys' industry, you know, talked about everything from Downy to, you know, all these other products that you guys have. And you don't realize how big of an impact they make on your daily life. And it actually adds up, you know, one little task here is another. They're all interconnected. And that's led to immense societal change. What are some of the kind of milestones and perhaps learnings, not just yourself, but the company has made after 27 years in Vietnam? What are some things that make you guys really proud and you want to share about what's happened in the last 27 years?
Yes, P&G was one among the first companies to enter Vietnam 27 years back. It's been an amazing and very successful journey all through. Let me mention a few things. The first is we've really tried to understand the Vietnamese consumer and we've evolved in the understanding. We have very successful brands in the country. We have Ariel, we have Downy, we have Gillette, we have Pampers, we have Safeguard, we have Head & Shoulders, Pantene, Rejoice, and many more. One of the first things that we drive is we look at Vietnam country as comprising of at least six regions. the consumers in the Red River Delta are very different from the consumers in Ho Chi Minh, very different from the consumers in Mekong, or very different from the consumers in Central Highlands, right? And it is this deep understanding of the consumers in different regions. And let me take an example. Head & Shoulders has been a very successful brand. And we picked up this insight that this brand was being pronounced very differently in different parts of Vietnam. How it was pronounced has had very humorous translations. So we took this challenge into a brand advantage, and we created a campaign called 100 Pronunciations, One Solution. So it was about coming up with a fantastic campaign where we took all these different pronunciations, 100 plus pronunciations, and created a humorous and a great advertising, which won many awards, that really led to significant increase in the awareness of the brand. And we've delivered stellar results on Head & Shoulders over these years. The growth is immense. And this really is derived from the local insight and great advertising, great understanding of the consumer, and great marketing.
I'm very curious about that example now, and I'm going to have to follow up with you and your team about potentially doing an article. Yeah, people forget that there's many minorities and accents and regions in Vietnam, not just Ho Chi Minh City, not just Hanoi. You might think that they drive the majority of the business, and they might. But when you look at the rest of the country, it drives, for you guys, I'm sure, too, a huge part of the business. I mean, at Vietcetera, we still are urban dominated for sure. But every month that goes by, every year that goes by, we see an uptick in especially young consumers in the provinces and not in the big mega cities, responding to fresh ideas, new brands, content experiences. So it's really, really great to hear about that. How do you guys define success? I mean, you mentioned on understanding insights of the consumers, you know, that's one great thing, very customer facing. But let's talk about talent development, cultural development, how you guys see organization and thinking in that way. Thousands of employees, how do you manage that whole process?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm reminded of quote, Culture Eats Strategy for Breakfast by Peter Drucker. So let me start by first talking about success. I think success is personal. The definition of success really depends and varies from person to person, depending on personal choices, personal preferences. I've had my definition of success, and it has evolved over time. Every 5 years, I define success for myself. But let's also then come to culture. Culture is very important for us as a company in PNG, and we drive the 4D culture. The 4Ds: daring, deliberate, decisiveness, and depth. So depth is all about being in the depth and having accountability for business and organization. Deliberate is about being intentional. Promises made, promises kept. Daring is about winning big, winning fast, and constantly raising the bar. And finally, decisiveness is all about acting with a sense of urgency. People ask me, and if you ask any PNGer, most of them have been for many years with PNG, what has really made you stick to PNG? Broadly, they would say three things. The first is great people to work with, great colleagues. The second is the people first that you constantly see the company prioritizing. There are many decisions that I make day to day, and many times I have to make a choice between business prioritization or people, and most times I tend to keep people first. The third thing, of course, is the huge focus on upskilling, building capability of people, and importantly, doing the right thing. No matter what, whatever difficult circumstances we are faced with, we do the right thing. It's an important purpose, value, and principle, or what we call PVPs, that the organization has. The final aspect is also the culture of innovation. I gave many consumer and marketing examples, and let me give you a sales example. So in sales, we are driving two things. First, every year, half of our growth on the business that we deliver needs to come from go-to-market ideas that the sales team drives. Constructive disruption is a very important priority, and we do that really well. We take the 70-20-10 approach. 70s are things that you know very well and you do it regularly. The 20s are things that you learn by doing, and the 10s are things that you just don't have a clue of. These are the disruptive ideas, and we aim for a 1/3 of that 50% growth to come from really disruptive ideas that you don't have a clue of. So this culture of innovation, the 4D culture, the PVPs, the purpose, values, and principles, these all come together to make a great culture. Like I said, it feels like working for more than at least 5 companies, but with one constant and wonderful P&G culture.
Amazing. I really love the 70-20-10 example. I've never quantified it or structured in that way. I also lead the sales team at Vietcetera, and I'm always like, guys, let's be innovative, right? And I think that's easy to say, but to actually execute at scale is extremely challenging. And you know, it's a hit or miss kind of thing. You have to also understand that some things are going to work wonderfully, and you continue to invest in that, and others not so much. It looks like you guys have it almost down to a science, innovation and science, and building, scaling large teams to understand the need to consistency, but also innovation. That's fantastic. Sai, you mentioned about doing the right thing. A lot of business owners, small and big, have a lot of challenges of wrapping their heads around that, because when you say good thing, does that mean good for society, good for you, good for your team, good for the bottom line? Let's talk about one example that's really in the industry these days, which is diversity, inclusion, quality rather. And people think like that's a very long-term investment that you have to make. And sometimes, is it even needed? Does it actually help your business? Let's talk about that. How do you guys approach that?
Equality and inclusion is a very important strategy for us. Mm-hmm. It bodes very well with our overarching theme of being a force for good and a force for growth. We drive equality and inclusion in a very holistic and comprehensive manner. So we cover gender diversity, male, female. We cover LGBTQ+. We also ensure we cover people with disabilities, and of course, all races, all religions. There are 4 pillars that we are focused on bringing to life really well, and it's been there for years together. So let me start with first the employees. In terms of employees, we do 5 things. The first is we really inspire our employees behind the why, behind the concept, and behind the purpose of this. And we do this by holding an annual summit at an Asia, Middle East, and Africa scale. In the most recent summit, we partnered with the UN Women's Forum. Okay. And we brought leaders from the community across different countries and industry leaders. And we discussed, shared a lot of thoughts, and it was truly inspiring for our employees. The second is to really drive awareness and education for our employees regularly. We have an Equality and Inclusion Month. We just concluded the month with a lot of activities. It's an opportunity to drive key messages, review the progress, continue to do new things, have panel discussions to really drive awareness and education. The third one is policies and benefits. We launched the Share the Care program, which is giving men paternity leave. We also have extended all the benefits that partners, spouses get to LGBTQ+ employees. We also continue to look at all our policies and benefits to ensure that they are really driving equality and inclusion. The fourth is training our people. We do trainings like inclusive mindset. We do trainings on men advocating real change, because we need men to be allies for our employees to grow and progress. And we also educated our employees on menstruation, because men need to know what women go through, what girls go through, be it both for the family or be it for colleagues at work. And finally, we of course drive gender diversity and an equal and inclusive workplace. We have delivered over 50% of our employees with the right gender balance. And even in my leadership team, we have over 50% of employees who are women. So these are the five pillars among employees. The second big pillar for equality and inclusion is our brands. Mm. We have these brands that touch millions of consumers. And P&G is the number one advertiser in the world. So we can really leverage our voice with the consumers, with the millions of consumers. And we have movements that our brands are creating. Let me share with you an example of Ariel. We have the Share the Load campaign and a movement. And the insight is very simple. If men, when they live with men, can share the load of household work, mm-hmm. when they live with their wives, why can't they do the same, right? And we bring this message across in a creative and very engaging manner to our consumers. And it's a big movement that we've created through Ariel. Similarly, we have campaigns on Whisper Like a Girl and many, many more campaigns as well. So the second one is, how can we make a big difference in the community through our brands? The third and fourth are partners and in the communities, what we can do. And this is also very important in how we drive and have the right partners to be able to bring a big difference to the communities. Let me take two, three examples. The first is how we empower women. You mentioned about ethnic minorities and women minorities in Vietnam. So we have a financial empowerment plan where we support women in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. In the region, Asia, Middle East, Africa, we have committed to contributing $200 million towards women and financial inclusion. We are also supporting girls in school through Whisper, where we drive awareness and education on hygiene, on menstruation. And then the third one is also women in colleges. If you see the statistic as per United Nations, the percentage of women in the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics field is 15-20%, depending on the country, especially in developing countries like Vietnam. And this is where we can make a big difference. We have AmCham Women in Engineering Scholarships, and we have other programs through which we do women scholarships to really encourage women to succeed at a college level as well. So these are the different ways that we really drive equality and inclusion. It's an integrated strategy in our overall business and organization strategy. And it's a big focus for us, where we try to make a difference with our employees, through our brands, partners and communities in which we operate in.
Fantastic. I mean, a lot of these ecosystems that you guys are building as part of a bigger one about DEI, a lot of it is driven internally. You know, company leadership it goes all the way down to the trainees as well, actually embracing those initiatives. Let's also talk about it from an external point of view. You mentioned partners and external ecosystems, and it's great that you have the support of these organizations, like you mentioned the United Nations Women Organization, for instance. Let's talk about in Vietnam. We were at the same panel pledge some weeks ago, hosted by the American Chamber of Commerce and all the others, Chamber of Commerces as well. Let's talk about that event and why that's important too, because, you know, Mary Tarnocket, she was the executive director at AmCham, and she was talking about the idea of mannels, for instance. That's a word I think she invented, the idea that a lot of public speaking panels are mostly, if not all, men. And that is an issue, right? And to this day, it continues to be ever present. How is your participation and P&G's participation in that event helping to motivate other business leaders to take that example? That was a big shining moment for me, actually. I mean, we do make an effort, maybe not the scale of P&G, but for us to really capture it and illustrate it and kind of make that commitment in person is also... Let's share about that. What did that event mean for you guys at P&G Vietnam? Yeah.
It was a true privilege to be part of that fantastic event. It brought together various chambers, American Chamber of Commerce, CANCHAM, OSCHAM, BRITCHAM. It also brought together many consulate generals from various countries, US, UK, Canada, and many more. And it also brought together a lot of business leaders in different sectors. And what started off as what we noticed and observed were pockets of awareness, pockets of activity happening on diversity, equality, and inclusion. But our intent really was to bring it out and create a movement, create allies who can support this, create champions in the society and community who can bring about this change. And specifically, I got a chance to, one, talk about the case study PNG, what we do differently, what are the challenges we face. We wanted to share with the different organizations what they should expect, how they can deal with it, and how they can leverage their scale to make a big difference. And on the panel, it was a very diverse panel. Mm. We had two women leaders, one myself, and we had one LGBTQ leader as well, and which was also wonderful. Like you mentioned, we also signed the panel pledge. Many organization leaders coming together. So I hope we've had a great start to this movement. We are also forming a DEI community in Ho Chi Minh. Mm. And we hope to go a long way. We hope to make a big difference to the community. And I'm very glad that our government partnerships, our industry partnerships are helping PNG to make a difference to the community, make a difference to society, and really bring awareness, education, and some great examples on equality and inclusion.
I'm sure after this podcast, your colleagues at PNG Global we'll be initiating panel pledges as well, if not already. Yeah, aside from et cetera, too, I think we are more aware of it, and we hope to be a partner with PNG and AmCham and the others from our side, which is media, of course. Sai, we have two more questions for you. One is future growth. Let's look about future business opportunities for PNG in Vietnam. What does it look like for year 28 for PNG?
Yeah, we believe there are very exciting times ahead. There is a lot of opportunities to tap into, both business and building this wonderful Vietnamese talents and organization. Mm-hmm. We have opportunities on reaching new users across our wide portfolio of product categories. We have opportunities to drive consumption. And we also have opportunities to enter new segments and new categories. Let me take an example of Shave Care, Gillette as a brand. We play across all the different segments and all the different price points in the market. And of course, we are the market leader. It's also the number one brand globally. But more than 70% of the usage of Shave Care category in Vietnam is still in single blades largely. And that's an immense opportunity for us to trade up consumers, to use significantly better technology, significantly superior products, and get that great experience, of course, at a great value. So huge opportunity and huge potential. The other big area for us that we're excited about is to continue to contribute to the community, to the society. Not just be a force for growth, but also be a leading force for good company. And we have immense partnerships over the years. Let me take a couple of examples of how we are trying to make a difference. We have a children's safe drinking water program. We have delivered over the last few years more than 100 million liters of clean drinking water. In partnership with Red Cross. We also have programs where we are supporting children in schools. We are building homes for the needy people in Mekong Delta in partnership with Habitat for Humanity. And we have numerous programs. I just cannot ignore the work that we've done over the last 2-3 years while we were all navigating through the pandemic. We've been able to contribute over 16 billion Vietnamese dong in cash and our products. We've partnered with hospitals, medical clinics, and numerous partners to be able to make a difference while consumers and communities were going through difficult times. Recently, you must have heard Vietnam overtook Malaysia and Singapore in terms of GDP to become the fourth biggest country in Southeast Asia. So inspiring opportunities ahead. We are committed to being a leading company in driving force for good and a force for growth. And we are excited to continue to making a big difference by growing Vietnamese talents. For perspective, at this point in time, we have over 50 Vietnamese talents working across the PNG countries around the world, including US, Singapore, Australia, Indonesia, Thailand. So we are also excited about growing local talents and creating leaders for tomorrow.
On the subject of leaders for tomorrow and growing, my last question for you to conclude today's podcast, thank you, Sai, is, are you guys hiring? That's always my plug at the end of every interview. I'm not sure if you're expecting that. I'm sure you guys are. You're a growing force for good and force for growth. Hiring, who are you hiring and what kind of roles and leaders, trainees, what does that look like? A quick little shout out for that.
Yeah, we have exciting plans for the business and for our organization. I talked about it. We've had a lot these 2 years, even through the pandemic. We've had a lot. We are hiring for, obviously, for fueling the growth of our business, but we are also hiring in specialist positions. We are driving digital, we are driving technology, we are driving analytics, we are staffing up brand organization or marketing organization, we are beefing up sales talents, we are hiring female engineers for our factories. So there is a lot of hiring that we are doing. And of course, we are keeping our training, our onboarding programs to also stay at the same pace so that we really build of course, we recruit the right talents, but also build talents for the future. And we continue in the last 2 years to export a lot of Vietnamese talents to different countries. So the trend is only going up, and we are excited for the future, both for the business as well as the organization. And our integrated strategy that I was mentioning to you is really serving us well to drive the five vectors of superiority that I mentioned to you. And I'm really confident that our brands will reach many, many more consumers and delight more consumers in the future as we drive force for good and be a force for growth.
Last question, actually. Name all the brands at P&G. I'm kidding. That's, how many is it now? It's like in the hundreds, it must be.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so we'll spare you that. We won't have you share that. But if you are curious about the brands at P&G, guys, you could actually, you know, obviously search online, talk to the folks at P&G. If there's anything in particular, I have a ton of questions after all the little insights and case studies you shared. So I'll be sure to follow up with you, Sai. Everyone, thank you for listening to another episode of Vietnam Innovators with your host, me, and of course our guest today, Country Manager and General Director of Vietnam for Procter & Gamble. We'll have you listen in for next time. Look out for every episode every Tuesday morning on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you get our content. Thank you so much, Sai.
Thank you. It's great to chat with you.
Mùa hè, quần áo rất dễ bẩn và hôi ở cổ tay, cổ áo và dưới cánh tay. Nhưng với Ariel thì khác. Ariel chuyên gia cửa trên mới đánh tan vết bẩn trên cổ áo, cổ tay và mùi dưới cánh tay nhờ sức mạnh 3X sạch sâu.
Sạch thơm quá.
Chuyển sang Ariel chuyên gia cửa trên mới hôm nay.
You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week. So don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.